again bid everyone welcome and express appreciation for your being here this morning. And we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together and appreciate your desire to assemble together for worship and to enjoy time of friendship and fellowship also. Again, there's an outline in the bulletin. If you'd like to blog, it's with the lesson presented. As Rick mentioned, the lesson is from the text that was read to us, the Old Testament story of Ezekiel's vision of a valley of dry bones. Most of us have heard about this valley in one form or another, but perhaps we don't always know what the message was or what the intent was of having this vision given to Ezekiel, but you'll know this morning after we go through the verses. By way of introduction, the book of Ezekiel opens with Ezekiel having a vision from God. And God gives Ezekiel a mission. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass the 13th year, the 4th month, the 5th day, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar." Ah, so Ezekiel is among the captives, those who were taken away from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And now Ezekiel is with those people that were taken back to Babylon. So that's the way he begins his letter. "I was among the captives, that the heavens were opened, and I saw a vision of God." And then the rest of chapter 1 describes that vision of God that's given to Ezekiel. In chapter 2, he gives us some more information about his task. Says, "God said to me, 'Son of man, stand on your feet. I will speak to you.' And then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me. He set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. He said, 'Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel.'" Ah, the mission. "Ezekiel, what are you about to do? Why are you writing this letter? Why are you giving all of these prophecies? Oh, God sent me to the Israelites who are there in captivity." Says, "To a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me, says the Lord. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this day." So this book contains visions of many dreadful things, and it contains Ezekiel's message to those who are held captive in Babylon. So now chapter 37. We're going to look at just this one vision. Chapter 37. Verse 1 opens, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and sat me down in the midst of the valley." Perhaps it's the same valley where he received his mission in the opening chapters. But he continues in chapter 37, verses 1 and 2, concerning being set down in the midst of this valley, "and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry." Ah. So then he says, in number 1 in your notes, so first of all we get this picture of God calling Ezekiel and shows him this vision of a valley of dry bones. 4 days and Jesus raises him. But in our text, we don't have the bodies of the newly dead. We have dry bones. And in verse 3 it says there were very many in the open valley. Very dry. Now to Ezekiel's credit, he replied, "O Lord, you know." You talk about a man of faith. He doesn't give a shout of doubt. No, these bones can't live. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "Oh, it's impossible. They're dry bones. It can never happen." No, he doesn't say that. He's not reasoning or arguing back to God in the vision. These are bones. These are skeletons. And they're all separated. No, he doesn't say that. Just says, "God, you know." The story continues in verse 4. Again, he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones. Say to them, dry bones, hear the word of God." In verses 5 and 6, God said that he would put breath and life and sinew and flesh and skin on these bones. But verse 7, So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as a result of Ezekiel's prophesying or preaching to these dry bones, the verses continue and says, "Oh, there's a noise and a rattling, and these bones are shaking, coming together, making a noise. They began connecting head bone to the neck bone. Neck bone to the back bone." So on. Feel a song coming on. But once all these bones get together in verse 8, so these bones came together, but there's no breath in them. So now you have bodies, but no breath. So in verse 9, he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath." So he did it. His message was, he prophesied and he preached. He said, "Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live." You can imagine that sight. First of all, he says, "Preach to dry bones." I've never done that. Now, maybe during the week, I might come out into the auditorium, have my notes in hand and stand here and just kind of give a little review. And I preach to walls and carpets and pews, but they never come to life. But that's what Ezekiel is facing. God says, "You preach to dry bones." These bones have no flesh. So the flesh comes upon them and now says, "All right," God says to Ezekiel, "All right, now preach to the wind." Now some of you think I do that. But now Ezekiel's congregation is thousands of unburied dead. His congregation is motionless and stiff, lifeless and silent. I'm not going to make any comments. I might relate to that. But now Ezekiel says to the wind, "Breathe on these." So verse 10. "So I prophesied as he commanded me." He didn't rely on his own reasoning. He didn't stagger in unbelief. Rather, he just preached what he was told. God gave Ezekiel a message, and that was the message that Ezekiel delivered, exactly as God told it to him. And it worked. The rest of verse 10. "Breath came into them, and they lived, stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." What a response. So the answer to his opening question, "Ezekiel, or son of man, can these bones live?" tell Ezekiel what this vision had in store. Verse 11, then he said to me, in other words, here's the meaning, Ezekiel. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So this vision that Ezekiel is receiving is an allegory or imagery. It's figurative. Say, you see this valley of dry bones? Yes. Preach to them, okay. Can these bones live? The answer was yes. God put flesh upon them. It put breath in them. These bones came alive. That's the image or the vision that God gave to Ezekiel. Then God said, this is what that vision means. These bones are the whole house of Israel. So the text continued with Israel saying to themselves, about themselves, in captivity. Israelites in captivity, how do you view yourselves? In verse 11, our bones are dry. Ah. Israel saw themselves as dry bones. That was the vision that God just gave to Ezekiel. They continued, our hope is lost. Verse 11 is the text. We ourselves are cut off, separated. Bones not connected. There was the northern kingdom taken to Assyria, the southern kingdom taken to Babylon. Disconnected people, scattered. It's like a valley of dry bones. You see the imagery, the figures, the symbolism? God tells us exactly what the meaning is. These bones are the house of Israel. That's exactly how they saw themselves. We're dry. Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. They're saying to themselves, we've been taken captive by Assyria and Babylon. I wonder if God, they're saying to themselves, I wonder if God will ever bring us back together again. I wonder if we'll ever get our land back, they're saying to themselves in verse 11. They're saying to themselves, I wonder if we're ever going to see Jerusalem again. Verse 12, God answers their question with a yes. Yes. He says, I will bring you into the land of Israel. I'll do that. Verses 13 and 14. Then, God said, now when I do all of this, take you away from captivity, bring your people back together again, just like the disconnected bones had flesh put on them, brought together, life put in them, Israel, I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to bring you back together and put you back in your homeland. Then, verses 13, you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, in other words, that valley of dry bones, that's the imagery, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. I will place you in your land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord. I have spoken and performed it. That happened exactly as God told Ezekiel in this vision. I gave you two references. In Ezra chapter 2, verse 1, Ezra also in Babylon with Ezekiel. Ezra pleads with Cyrus and says, can my people go back to Jerusalem? And Cyrus, the Persian king, says, yes. In Ezra 2, verse 1, now these are the people of the province who came back from the captivity, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away to Babylon, and who returned to Jerusalem and Judea. They went back. Nehemiah, another one who was taken captive along with Ezekiel into Babylon. Nehemiah asked Cyrus, can I go back? I heard the walls of Jerusalem of my city are broken down. I want to go back and rebuild them. Nehemiah asked King Artaxerxes for permission to return to Jerusalem in the book of Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 5. In verse 6, permission is granted. In verse 11, he makes the journey and he writes, so I came to Jerusalem. So that's the story is of the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel chapter 37. It's a picture of Israel being taken captive. They viewed themselves as dry bones, lifeless, stiff, scattered, wondering, will we ever get back to our homeland? God says, yes, and I'll prove it to you. And he gives them that vision of the bones coming to life. And now he says, you are that house, Israel, you are those bones. I will send you back home. And he does. Now the lesson for you and me. Why tell this story? Number one in the application, we learn that unconverted souls are like dry bones. The New Testament teaches that in conversion, the spiritually dead come to life again. Put just a couple verses. There's more than I have listed here, but hopefully this will give you enough to start thinking in this direction. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes to the congregation there, he says, and you he made alive. He's already alive. What do you mean he made us alive? I'm inhaling, exhaling, the congregation would say. I'm physically here. I go work and blank. What do you mean you made us alive? I am alive. But who were dead, you were what? No, I was alive back then, too, before I became a Christian. I was alive. I inhaled, exhaled. I went to work. I played. What do you mean I was dead? Oh, I'm dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, explanation, a little figurative language, imagery. The next verse, he says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Meaning when we don't walk according to God's word, we're the walking dead. Get that? People that are not spiritually alive are spiritually dead. They're the walking dead. In 1 John chapter 5, beginning of verse 11, John says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. That's the testimony. God's given us eternal life. This life is in his Son. I mean, those that are not in his Son are spiritually dead. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. What do you mean I don't have life? I'm inhaling, exhaling, I'm breathing, I go work and play, I do this, that, I have fun, I go to games. What do you mean I don't have life? You don't have spiritual life. That's the imagery. That's the picture. He goes on to say in 1 John 5 and verse 13, these things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So these things are written. Ezekiel, what were you to do to those dry bones? Oh, that's right. Priests are going to say, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's right. And when he preached, things happened. They don't have breath. Preach to the air. Say to the four winds, come. And so he did as he was commanded. He preached the word of the Lord. When we preach the word of the Lord to our community, a valley of dry bones, we can almost ask the same question, can these bones live? Oh my God, I don't know, Brian. They're pretty dry out there. This is Imperial Beach, you know. Ezekiel's credit, he didn't stutter or stammer. He says, you know, Lord. So our task at hand is to simply get the word of God out into our community and not stutter and not stammer, but just to preach the word of the Lord. Lord, you know whether these dry bones can live. These dry bones in our neighborhood, in our community, in our city, you know. And our task is just to deliver the message. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead, what? Dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. You see the image of the word, dead and alive? In Colossians 2, verse 13, an being dead in your trespasses, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. When we are forgiven, when our sins are taken away through obeying the gospel, we become alive unto God by becoming a Christian. That's why we preach with a sense of urgency. So I put in your notes in number two, the preaching is God's way to awaken the spiritually dead. Like Ezekiel, we need to cry out, "Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." That's our message. Hear the word of the Lord. Unsaved people can reason, they can talk, play, work, eat, marry, build, plant, trade. But their soul, having no union with Christ, are in a spiritually dead condition. That's the message of the valley of dry bones. So can these bones live? Yes. Yes. Put in your notes in closing, in John 6, verse 63, Jesus said, "It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." We preach the word, the gospel. But in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, verse 15, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." The gospel tell every dry bone worldwide, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Tell everybody. That's the message, and that's the invitation we extend. It's the word of God. He that believes and is baptized come to life again. Yes, these bones can live. We just need to get the word out. You're subject to that invitation. You're not a member of the New Testament church. You're not a Christian. You have not been born again. Then you need to, number one, hear the word of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, the closing verses, come and learn of me. Learn. Second, you need to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Jesus said it in John 8:24. "Except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins." You need to believe. You need to hear God's word and believe it. Second, Jesus said it in Luke 13, verse 3. "Except you repent, you shall all in like manner perish." In Acts chapter 8, we have the conversion of the Ethiopians. Philip preached Jesus to him. He said, "Here, that reached the point of his lesson. Here's water. Anything stopping or hindering me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe, you may." He made a confession. "I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son." So we make that confession of faith. And then when the Ethiopian made that statement, Philip said, "Stop the chariot." They went down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, and Philip baptized him. Came up out of the water rejoicing. Wasn't rejoicing before.